Perhaps we could just quieten ourselves in the presence of the Lord. Let me thank everyone who has joined with us for this short service. The family appreciates the friends and the neighbors, members of our church here in Kilskerry and neighboring churches who have joined with us in this funeral service for my mother. We will have a tribute to pay to her and some tributes that have come to us from Australia that I will read out. But let us commence, please, with the singing of the first hymn, and after we sing that hymn, I'm going to ask the Reverend Malcolm Patterson if he would just come forward and lead us in a word of prayer. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child, and forever I am. That was the testimony of our mother for over 70 years. And it's appropriate we sing these words, please. Just remain seated as we sing. Everyone joining in, please. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. Redeemed by so happy in Jesus. I know that His presence with me doth continually dwell. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child. Think of my blessed Redeemer. I think of Him all the day long. I sing, for I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my song. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed. Shall see in His beauty the King in whose law I delight, who lovingly guardeth my footsteps and giveth me songs in the night. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed. Redeemed, His child and forever I am. Reverend Patterson, please.
Let us pray. Father in heaven, we do thank Thee, Lord, that on this Thy day, that we're able to meet together in Thy presence. And Lord, as we're in Thy presence today, we are very mindful that Thou art the One who has created the heavens and the earth. Thou art the God of all creation. And we thank You, Lord, that this day is the Sabbath day, that day of rest. And Lord, we thank Thee today that we Nanny
yes.
has entered into Thy presence. And that this day she is enjoying, Lord, indeed, Thy presence. And O Heavenly Father, we pray that truly, Lord, that Thou wilt be pleased to come and to tarry with us today. And we realize, O Lord, that there is that great sense of loss. And we realize, O God, that, Lord, that in the midst of our sorrow, yet, Lord, that there is great joy. For, Lord, we know that we, Nanny, has entered in, Lord, indeed, to Thy presence. We thank You, Lord, that over 70 years ago, that she came to know Thee as her own and personal Savior. And, O Heavenly Father, we pray that truly this day that Thou would help us all, Lord, indeed, to be mindful, Lord, that one day that we will leave this world, that one day that we will too enter into the great eternity. And we pray that each one truly, Lord, will make preparation for that day and come to know Thee as their own and personal Savior. We thank Thee, Lord, today for every blessing that Thou hast bestowed upon us. And we are reminded in Thy word of Thy sovereignty. And we know, Lord, that as Thou dost remind us that the sun shall not smite Thee by day, nor the moon by night. And we thank Thee, Lord, this day that we are gathered in Thy presence. We are very mindful, Lord, of the need in the family, and we do pray that Thou would undertake, Lord, for each one. And Lord, especially those across the seas today. We pray, Lord, that Thou would strengthen and that Thou would comfort. And so, Lord, we pray that Thou would undertake. And we do pray that we each one, Lord, today would know that gracious sense of Thy presence. And, O God, we pray that truly that Thou would undertake for Jesus' sake.
Amen. 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 Thank you, brother. I want first of all to offer the thanks not only of myself but of the rest of the family. And I'm going to start by expressing my appreciation for the many, many years of loving care bestowed upon our mother by my sisters, Hazel and Olive. They attended to her most faithfully when she was living in Belfast, and we greatly appreciate this. Of course, their husbands as well, John and Hamilton. These things are not missed, especially by the Lord, and many times in the quietness of our own home here we have commented on the acts of kindness that has been bestowed by my two older sisters. My younger sister, and I hope she's able to hear the service. I have two phones in front of me here. One going to the west, or linked to the west coast of Australia, and the other to the east coast of Australia. I trust that they're linked to those areas, and that the family is able to join with us. We do welcome them if they are, but my younger sister Carol, on a number of visits here, bestowed great kindness and love upon her mum. Indeed, she came and stayed with her here in her own home this summer, and we greatly appreciated her help, and we know that mother delighted in her company. Then there were those who came along to help. I'm thinking of the lady who came every Monday. I'm not sure of the technical term. We used to use the term home help. I just don't know what the term is today, but she was a help when she came to the home to look after Mum on a Monday. I'm speaking of Mrs. McGee, and we do deeply appreciate her assistance. Then there was the staff and the home helps that came to visit Mum when she was in the fold in Belfast, and we wouldn't for one moment overlook their kindness over many, many years. The district nursing team, who showed every kindness to us here, we had only to lift the phone, and I have to say, I've heard these things said, and I often wondered, are those words true at all? You'd be inclined to be a little skeptical, but I can tell you that they were more than helpful, and we only had to request, and they did all they could for us. The Irvinstown doctors were thankful for their care and their attention, and also the after-hours or out-of-hours medical team. We had to call for their assistance on a couple of occasions, and again, with great efficiency and kindness, they visited with us. And all of the men involved in the two undertaking firms that are looking after affairs today, we'd like to thank them, those from Wilton's in Belfast, and of course Roy from Wesley Elliott's firm here in Enniskillen. Thank you for your help. And I'd like to thank everyone who has expressed sympathy to us by way of emails and messages and phone calls and visits to the home. We deeply appreciate, believe me, your kindness and your thoughtfulness. We think particularly of Carol and Michael and their family in Australia, and we know that their absence from the service here today probably makes it a much more difficult day for them than we can begin to imagine. But they have sent some tributes, and I'm going to read one from Michael and Carol first of all. Martin Luther said that in motherhood consists the glory and the most precious ornament of women. I would like today to pay tribute to my dear mother. She truly was all that a mother should be. She was diligent in her duties. She was affectionate in her nature. She was kindly in her ways. She was selfless in her thoughts. She was wise in her advice. Such was the fruit of the triumph of grace in her life. She had a simple faith and in sincere love for her Savior, the Lord Jesus. I greatly rejoice today amidst the sorrow of loss that my mum is with Christ, which is far, far better. Truly, her children arise up and call her blessed. Proverbs chapter 31 and the verse 28. And then the children of Carol and Michael sent the following tribute, entitled A Tribute to Nanny. Our Nanny was a gift from God. Her heart beat with a love and kindness that only a heart full of the grace of God could show. Eternity alone will reveal the prayers that she offered up to her Savior for us, her grandchildren. We know her heart's desire would be for all her grandchildren to know the Lord Jesus, whose presence she now gloriously enjoys. To Uncle Ivan and Auntie Anne, on behalf of us all, thanks from the bottom of our hearts for the love, care, and comfort you give to our precious Nanny in her final pilgrimage. It is deeply appreciated. May the Lord's dear presence and his sweet consolations be experienced richly today by all. Julie, Carol, Beulah, Wendy, Owen, and Jason. And then Owen, in some poetic lines, just give voice to his tribute. He mentions in the opening line the fact that Nanny lived to nearly 100, which was three times the lifespan of our Savior here on earth. Three times his life my Nan did live. The Lord in heaven he did give. Her life a testament to his grace. In heaven she sits reserved place. Her children reflect God's redeeming love, for all will join her one day above. Our tears do fall, our hearts may yearn but may her life be an example well learned. And we appreciate these words of tribute that come from so far away, and we're delighted to have them as part of our service today. Our time is very curtailed, the evenings draw in so quickly, and we do want to be in Ballygowan as close to 4 o'clock as we possibly can. So I hope you know how to use the accelerator on your car if you're planning to join with us there. But I want to pay my own tribute, and I know it's echoed by all of the family, to my mum. I'd like to leave a text of scripture with you. It's there, I think, on our order of service. It's Isaiah chapter 33 and the verse 17. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold a land that is very far off. Let me say that since my mother nearly reached 100 years of age, 99 years and 5 months, she saw pass by. And in that lifetime, that long lifetime, she saw a lot. She saw a lot. She was 6 years old when World War I commenced. And she has, or had, memories of the sentiments in the country at that time. She was 10 years old when it ended. She often told me the story, and told the rest of the family too. Forgive me when I refer to myself. I'm not implying that these things are not known to the rest of the family. But she often told the story of being with her father, Grand Apprentice, in a field opposite to the wee house in which I was born, although that house wasn't there when this incident took place. She was gathering potatoes. Those of my cousins who are familiar with that area will know when I say it was the pretty field, precisely what it is I'm referring to. And as they were gathering potatoes, they could hear the church bell ringing in Listnaskee continually. My dad, as he later was to become, as a lad of 14, was passing up the road in a horse and cart on his way home from the creamery, for he did a run and collected creamery cans and brought them to the creamery, and he was coming home again. And Grand Apprentice shouted over to him, "What's all the bell ringing about?" And the lad of 14, weeping, told them that the war was over. But it was too late for his brother, George, who had been killed in April of that year. And I know my dad doted upon his older brother, who, as a lad of 18, died a sergeant in the Royal Enniskillen Fusiliers just before the end of the war. Later, as a teenager, my mum was working in a doctor's home in Bangor. And one day, they had a visitor in that home, a friend of theirs. His name was W.P. Nicholson. And my mum, as her portion was invited to the tea and had the meal with the family. I remember her telling me that W.P. Nicholson, and anyone with any knowledge of him, would just recognize that lively figure doing just this. He said to her, "Well, young lassie, who are you?" And before many seconds had passed, he was on to the subject of salvation and asking her how she stood with God. And then he said, "Well, if you ever get married and have a son, may God make him a preacher." Strange how providence works. My mother had 3 sons, 2 of whom died at birth. She was married in April 1933, and those were the hungry 30s. And young people, grandchildren, oh, you know nothing of what former generations went through in order to provide for their families. My mother was a faithful woman and my father a faithful father. And what labor they put in for their family. I often, during her stay with me, particularly in the latter days, would have gone into Mum in the morning when in her feebleness she would be lying there, and I'd speak to her and say, "Well, Mum, you'll not wheel many barrels of sand today. Because you see, in order to build the bungalow in which I was born and the family lived, my mum used to wheel barrels of sand during the day so that when Dad came home at night, he could mix mortar, make blocks, and then build the blocks he had made some time before, and thus the bungalow was built. I wouldn't like to be waiting for a house to be built that way today, for that was labor indeed." She was saved in a little series of meetings in Fonny. There's a couple of houses. The houses are still there, but two of them were converted into a meeting hall and by an Uncle Willie, a brother of my father. My father did the renovation. And in those meetings, my mum found the Savior. Those were the hungry 30s, I said. Well, she found satisfaction for spiritual hunger in those meetings. Later, the family moved to Belfast in 1953, and it was in the early 60s that my mum and dad began to attend Ravenhill Free Presbyterian Church. She's been a Free Presbyterian for 45 years. And as a result of their attendance, that had a direct result, a direct impact upon the rest of the family, and one by one we were converted in 1964 and 1965. She has seen much, I say, in her life. She lost her husband, my dad, some 16 years ago this month. And almost to the very end, if you mentioned Dad, the tears would form, for how she missed him still. I tell you, we have to admire the old ways and the lasting love that bound men and women together through the most difficult of times. But our text says, and I have only a few minutes left, our text says, "Thine eyes shall see the King in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off." I say my mother has seen much in her lifetime. But what is it in comparison to what she has seen since Friday evening here at 9 o'clock? She sees the land that is very far off. Let me say to you all that the kingdom of God is very far off, as far as most people are concerned. They know nothing of it. They think nothing of it. They never plan to be in it. That's why we read in John chapter 1, in the verses 10 through to 12, that when the Lord Jesus came into the world knew him not, because he was coming from a land, as it were, about which few people ever gave thought. That was my condition. Up until 1964, I gave no thought whatsoever to the things of God. You know, I went to church, but probably I thought less about God and his heavenly kingdom when I was in church than when I was anywhere else. I thought only of hearing that last amen that would mean freedom and out. Oh, men, think little of the kingdom of God. It's a land very far off. The Lord Jesus, you know, said, except you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And I know that for a fact. I was blind to that kingdom until in mercy God redeemed me. But for the believer, there is a day of seeing. Thine eyes shall see. For my mother, it happened at 9 o'clock on Friday evening. She entered into that land that's fairer than day. That land that was, during her earthly pilgrimage, far away, and which, as Paul says in Corinthians 13, verse 12, now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. At the very best, the things of God are far away, even for the brightest saint. It's like looking through a glass darkly. And the glass that Paul would have been speaking of wasn't like the panes of glass that we have today, perfectly formed, but it would have been mottled, and there would have been all sorts of blemishes in it, so that what was on the other side of the glass was distorted, and you couldn't tell whether you were looking at man or beast, hardly. And Paul says that's what it's like looking to that kingdom that belongs to God. We're looking through it last darkly. But there comes the day of seeing. That's what our text says. Thine eyes shall see. But please notice best of all that the day of seeing is a day of seeing the King in His beauty. There are many of our hymns that emphasize that. The bride eyes not her garments, but her dear bridegroom's face. My mum didn't look around heaven at its glories when, by the grace of God, she was translated there. She had eyes only for the King. She saw Him in His beauty. It's true, and I say it to you all, it's true, the child of God shall see His face. Shall see His face. It's the desire of the child of God to know God and see God clearly, more clearly than is our present experience. Thomas said to the Savior, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Well, dear Christian, to you is given this promise. You shall see the King in His beauty. There's not many of you here, but my mother would have prayed for you. And I know my mum was loved. My nephews and nieces, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. And she who has gone to heaven prayed that you would join her there. If you're not saved, will you listen again to the words of the Lord Jesus? Not my words, not my church's words, though we're pleased to be able to preach them and preach them freely. Jesus said, except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Oh, that you would come to Christ. Know His saving power. Receive His pardoning grace. And have the assurance that one day you will see the King in His beauty. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts. In a moment we'll have a word of prayer. Then the immediate family will perhaps just make our way to the room, closing of the coffin, and then as quickly as we possibly can, we're going to move off to Ballygowan, where there will be a brief graveside service, and the Reverend Brian McClung will be in charge of that gathering. Thank you again for coming. May the Lord bless His word to your hearts. Let's bow in prayer. Lord Jesus, do answer prayer. We thank Thee for Mum. We thank Thee for her strength, for her sacrifice, Lord. Not only would she give us the bit out of her mouth, as the old Ulster saying puts it, but Lord, we knew there were times she did do that. And we thank Thee for the mother and for the mother's love. And I thank You, Lord, and I know Anne thanks Thee for the last 9 months of her company here in the home. Bless all who have heard Your word today. May they have an appetite for God's salvation. Draw them to Thyself. Give us journeying mercies now, Lord, as we travel. And we just ask Thee, give us fair weather, Lord. We thank Thee that even already the forecasters have been proved wrong. Lord, give us an evening when we can gather for a few minutes around the grave as we bid our loved one and bury her, as the Scripture says, out of sight. Answer prayer now for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen. Amen. Perhaps the family could just make their way, please.